I first want to say that I am honored and privileged to be here. When Pastor Ralph asked me to fill in, I can't describe how it makes me feel. I get nervous and anxious.
I'm not going to not tell you that, but I do. But my heart overflows, and it's very humbling, and I'm just proud to be part of Bethel, where you guys are my family, and it's important for us to stay connected to one another. We had such a good time when the women got together, and it felt like we had not been together for a long time, but
then it also felt like that we had been sitting in for hours as girlfriends drinking coffee and talking. So that's how the Lord is. He's never very far, and He's always there. And we put all these things in front, maybe pride, maybe we're lazy, maybe we've got too much to do, but He's always there. So that's such a comfort. But I just wanted to say thank you for letting me speak this morning. And I pray that the Lord will use the words to touch your heart and for it to touch your heart, for you to pass it on and touch somebody else's heart. Her name was Stephanie, and we were on the last night of a 3-day women's retreat. And all the other nights she had sat with us, but not this night. And it was late in the service when I looked through the large crowd to see if she wanted to go down front to pray. Wait a minute. I got to start from the beginning. Of all things, it was a restaurant menu that created an opportunity for God's love and grace to be shown. I worked with an association that needed a place to meet. And as our pastor says, what's he say? If we hadn't ate, we wouldn't have met. Well, this group likes to eat when they meet. And Stephanie was the server that greeted me that day in the restaurant. And I explained to her that our group had had a really hard time finding a private dining room where we could have a meeting. I don't know if any of you have experienced that, but there are far and few in between, Tallahassee. Well, she handed me the menu. Months later, after I had worked with Stephanie on several luncheons, I found out that our pastor was meeting there with a men's Emmaus group at the same restaurant, in the same room. And he said that their server had been asking a lot of questions about, why are y'all meeting him? What are you talking about? So he shared with her the Emmaus story. And she was very interested in it. When Pastor described her, I knew immediately it was Stephanie. So we continued to spend time working on luncheons and planning things together on a business level. And about that time, I was getting ready to go to a women's Christian retreat. And I thought maybe I should invite her. There were a group of women going, and I thought maybe I should invite her. And much to my surprise, she said yes. When we glance around the world today, we turn the news on, sit next to our coworkers, we see a world that is full of dishonesty, violence, hatred, abuse. And that's evidence that the world is living apart from God. And as Christians, we should view the world through the eyes of Jesus. He sees comfort where there's loss. He sees forgiveness where there's a fault. And He sees a solution where there is a conflict. And our true happiness in humanity, in this world, is only going to be found through our Savior. And His grace is enough to cover all of that. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 15 through 20, is talking about God reconciling Himself unto the world, or the world unto Himself. Sin has separated the lost from their Savior. Reconciliation in the Greek means to make an enemy into a friend. In this case, God is wanting to restore his relationship with those that have turned away from him. And he calls people from every generation, that's all of us, to stand in the gap as part of Christ's ministry. And we can do this when we show God's love to other people. It creates a path for them to find themselves back to him. The priesthood of all believers is a biblical concept. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. But it's important for us to know what that is because we can understand the role of the laity in the church. And this concept allows us to realize the impact that can be made in every area of our life. Personal life, our spiritual life, the church, the world. And as believers, we're called to be priests. We're called to minister and to serve. Romans 6:34 tells us that in baptism, we are made one with Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. One with him in his death. And this just means that the power and the guilt of sin is gone away. And one with him in his resurrection. This makes us alive in him in this new life that he's given to us. So his death and resurrection, they're not just a one-time thing. It takes place in our lives each and every day as a priesthood of all believers. We die to our sins daily. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27, Paul stresses the importance of our responsibilities as individual believers to live and to work together. And he uses the comparison between Christ's spiritual body, which is church, to the human body. He makes it very clear that just as the human body is made up of different parts, it remains one unified whole. Each member of the body is incapable of performing a function of another body part, but together, it all works together for the good. If you've ever stubbed your toe, you realize that that affects how you walk and it hurts. Well, it affects the whole. Each makes its own unique contribution for the benefit of the whole body. This reminds me of a song from grade school. The thigh bone's connected to the hip bone. The hip bone's connected to the back bone. The back bone's connected to the shoulder bone. The shoulder bone connected to the neck bone. The neck bone connected to the head bone. And I don't remember the rest. I can't sing, guys. But if one of those members doesn't function, it affects the whole. So we are a whole body, just like we are a whole church. As believers, God desires that we consider the needs of others before our own. So this means we have to set aside self-importance, jealousy, pride. We could probably list about 25 more of those, but we've also been given by the Spirit our own individual gift. And these gifts should be used for the church. Verse 26 of that in Corinthians talks about when one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And when one rejoices, all members rejoice. The clergy and the laity share the responsibility and the privilege in ministry together, caring one for another. Pastor Ralph is so good at this. He can nudge you in a way, like up here, before you realize what has happened. He's an encourager, and he serves alongside. You know, his nickname, if y'all don't know this, is the Pester Pastor. Has he ever called you and he said, "This is the Pester Pastor"? But he's not. He's doing it in love. That's a gift. So now that we know that we belong to the priesthood of all believers, what's a priest? Well, a priest serves as a representative between people and God. Simple. They share words of forgiveness, healing grace, and they also intercede on behalf of other people. But they're not only the ordained clergy, but any one of us that has experienced the love, grace, acceptance, and forgiveness of God. In the Old Testament, the priest served as the go-between, God and the sinful human. And the people approached God through the priest, and their job is to offer up sacrifices for the sins of the people. Aren't you glad you don't have to do that anymore? Jesus sacrificed so that he created a new covenant, and that new covenant is for eternity. So no other sacrifices are needed. Jesus is our great high priest, and he is God's representative to us and our representative to God. Because the Word became flesh, we have a great high priest that identifies with our weaknesses. He sacrificed his life for our salvation, and now he is a mediator between God and man. Peter reminds us how valuable every member is to God. In 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 5, he says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This is who we are. We're God's people. And when you show acts of kindness or mercy to someone, if you speak a word of comfort, when you serve those that are lost, lonely, the least, you are the body of Christ at work. Just so you understand, the priesthood of all believers is about serving others. We serve others through the authority and the example of Christ, and it's not our own. And as members of the body of Christ, we are to stand in the gap and be his physical representative to the world. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. And where the church is, we are. It's not about where we gather. It's about where we scatter. We're a community of faith. We're a people of God. And the work of the church is when we make ourselves available to others. When we can listen without judging. And when we can comfort somebody in their time of need. Each of you has something to offer to God's service, and your abilities are God-given. And God has given us the grace so that we can pass it on to somebody else. We should always be looking for a way to be a channel of grace. 1 Peter 2:9 says that we have been selected, called, chosen, blessed, and set apart for a very particular purpose. To proclaim the mighty acts of God. We should make it known that God has brought us out of the darkness into the living light. And because of this, we should share and serve everybody we come in contact with. So the mission of this priesthood of all believers is very simple. It's to make Christ real for people. Being a channel of grace while we proclaim the mighty acts of God. Let's talk about the characteristics of this mission. There's five. It's personal, it's spiritual, it's service-oriented, it's shared, and it calls for our best. It's personal because we can share our individual experience with Jesus. I love to tell people about my individual experience with Jesus. But when we look for daily opportunities, we can express this mission because we can let somebody see how we've been transformed. Because we've all changed by His love and His mercy. We should keep it simple. Just be sincere And above all else, just be yourself. There's only one you. And it's spiritual. And the Holy Spirit will lead us towards goodness and doing good in the world. But it will also steer us away from those wrongs, even though the world may approve of some of those things. The Holy Spirit tells us the difference. God desires for us to live in the fullness of His grace and His truth. Jesus' example in John 13, verses 12 through 15, it shows that it's service-oriented. The scripture says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example as you should do as I have done for you. One of the greatest qualities of Jesus was his humility. He placed the needs of others on a regular basis before his own. And he had a compassion for people, and he always shared the message of hope. The humble disposition of our Lord that washed our feet calls on us to go as his representatives, always putting the needs of others before our own. This is how we should live our lives, to serve. This mission is also shared in that it requires teamwork. Jesus showed us the necessity of Christians working together for kingdom work. And this is best done when the clergy and laity partner together. God uses the efforts of each person in an equally important way, and each one of those is unique and special. Hear the power in John 3:16. And y'all all know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his one and only. He calls for our best. What's your best? Our best is when we share God's grace and we make Christ real to people. And we do this because we want every person we meet to know God's salvation plan. And as Christians, we're in an active partnership to be the church. So I challenge you this morning with a quote that comes from St. Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Like I said, it was the last night of worship, and I looked around to see where Stephanie was, but I couldn't find her. And I began to get concerned that she had slipped out. So after the service, the rest of our group walked back towards our cabin, and there she was sitting on the picnic table. And as we got closer, I could see that she had been crying. I didn't know anything about her family situation or her background, but she began to pour her heart out to me. And some of what she said, I was not equipped to respond to. She had been through some very traumatic experiences, some that no young girl should ever have to endure. And as she was talking, I just asked the Lord to help me listen and just be there with her. So we talked for a few hours and then we prayed for a few more. I had no idea that she needed the grace of God in her life so desperately. A menu was my and Stephanie's connection. It was simple, but it's a place where she met our Lord. And she was able to experience his love and his grace, most importantly, his acceptance. So if we're willing to open up our hearts and our hands and allow God to shine through us, we will be the priesthood of all believers. It's really a simple concept. And please and thank you take you a long way. And I can't say that in my daily walk, I meet somebody every single day that needs love, grace, forgiveness, acceptance. And it starts with me when I look at myself in the mirror before I ever head out to go where I work. And I look at where I work as a mission field. For a long time, I didn't like where I worked, and I had an attitude of, why do I have to be in this family? Why do I have to be in this family business? I don't like this. I can't do this. I'm not enough. But where we are is where God has put us. And he gave us all individual gifts. And we can use those gifts and should use those gifts for his benefit. So I just challenge you today just to get still a little bit and just think a little bit about, am I serving? And think back to that example in the Bible where Jesus got down on his knees to wash feet. Dirty, stinky feet. That's kind of symbolic. We have dirty, stinky feet. I think as a church, sometimes we get in the business of doing. Maybe it comes from the wrong place. So I just ask that you would take some time this week and think about that. This is a little church, but it is a powerful church. And the Spirit of the Lord is here in each and every one of us. And I'm thankful and grateful that I'm a part of that.